the side instead of in the center? No? Is that okay? Is that okay?
It throws me off.
It throws you off? Happy Father's Day, first of all. The last few weeks we have been doing a Superheroes of the Bible series that we're doing for the summer because we did that last year and it was a lot of fun. And the first week we talked about Noah and that we didn't want to miss the boat. And then last week we talked about Ruth and how we wanted to follow God's lead and he's got a plan. Ruth ended up being in the line of David and also Jesus, so that was kind of cool. And this week, is that what you, okay, that's what he wanted the whole time. So this week we're going to talk about Joseph, who was the father of Jesus. He was his earthly stepdad, if you will. To give you guys a little bit of background about this, like Mary is a young girl. We don't know the exact age. It doesn't tell us. Some people said she was between like 13 and 15 or so whenever an angel came and told her that she was going to be having the Son of God. So she has her fears, and then she has this person like what we have today in the United States where the parents pick out the husband and they put them together. We don't do that now, though, do we? Because I'd be picking a rich guy for Katie. So we have these, at their culture, the parents pick us. I mean, they picked out Joseph, and Joseph finds out that she is that she's pregnant with a baby, and so he's kind of wanting nothing to do with this. Well, an angel comes to Joseph and visits with him and says, hey, you need to take Mary in and let her be your wife, and she is bearing the Son of God, so you need to do this. So then Joseph, he's on board with this thing now. You know, it's not every day that you see an angel appear in front of you and tell you that your bride-to-be is going to be bearing the Son of God. So everything is cool then. But then I start thinking about, like, whenever I had my first baby, and it's not the same with the next ones, but the first one we had was Katie, and we're in the hospital, and it's time to go home, and we're walking out. Amber is in the little wheelchair thing because for some reason they won't let you walk out of the hospital. You have to ride out, so she's carrying the baby, and as we're going down that hallway, and I always tell dads that are soon to be dads this little part, as you're walking down that hallway, and you're headed up there to those doors, and they're not quite opened yet, but you're headed up there, and then all I could think about is, oh, they got this little bitty baby here that we have to feed and we can't forget. We're going to have to change diapers. But the good news is they have those 25-pound diapers that you can let go for like 2 days. So, no, I'm kidding. So you got to clothe them. You have to feed them. You have to take care of these babies. And if you don't take care of them, you go to jail, right? So I'm thinking about all these different fears and anxiety that I had going out of that hospital. And then we get out of the hospital and we start raising her. And she becomes the beautiful young lady that we've got here today. So Amber's done a great job with her. So I start thinking about like my own fears, and then I'm thinking, well, what if like an angel came to me and said that I'm going to be taking care of the Son of God. I have to help raise him with my wife. What kind of fears is going through my mind then? So I'm like, okay, I already had like these things with Katie where you learn different things in parenthood. One of the things that I learned early on, as soon as Katie could like kind of stand up, is that you don't set them on top of the car with the car door open because they will fall and bang their forehead onto the top of the door. What if that happened and it was God's son that I let that happen to? I was over at my mom's house, so I remember that. She smacked it. Yep. So I remember bits and pieces of little things. So then I'm like, well, he had to have all kinds of fear and anxiety because he has the Son of God there, right? He's got to take care of him. He's going to want to make sure that he's not going to get hurt, can you spank him if he's the Son of God? But he never sinned, so he didn't have to worry about that kind of thing. So he's got all these different things, and then he has to love this baby and raise this baby as his own son and care for him, and it's the Son of God. And I don't think they fully knew exactly what the future held for them, but the love that he would have for his stepson, a child that's not even his, was like amazing that he was able to do that. And then I think about in my life, I know all these guys that they're taking care of kids that aren't their own, and I find that like completely and totally amazing. Through adoption, through marriage, there's a variety of ways, and it's pretty cool. And then I started thinking about, okay, Joseph also had to teach Jesus these things. And they say that he was a carpenter, so he probably brought up Jesus in the trade of being a carpenter. So he has all these different things that he can teach you. And then I think about things like, what all can you teach your kids through your own trade and the tools that you use? And that's where the message is going to kind of go today. And my trade, it's kind of easy because I work on computers, right? So all I have to do is say, okay, I've got this one tool here. It's a computer. You guys have fun on the internet, right? And that's, okay, it's not quite that easy. You have to teach them what they can and can't do and all that sort of thing. But I didn't have anything really cool illustration that I could use for a computer, because really with computers you get the internet, Facebook, and that's about it. So nothing really cool. But with a carpenter, though, they've got all these cool tools that we're going to do, like man stuff that we've got over here that we're going to be talking about today. So the very first thing that I want to talk about is the tape measure. Okay, you've got – I'm not quite that bad. I'm a computer guy, but not quite like that. So we have the tape measure right here, and it is used to – build things and measure out the distance of how long you want things to be, like this awesome table right here that Travis built. He's not going to take credit for it. Okay, so Travis and I built the table, and as you can tell, I'm not a carpenter at all by any stretch. The legs were like all off, so I had to, you know, hold up on this thing while he screwed it differently just to make it kind of sit even, and now it's all wobbly, but it's a tool bench, so it doesn't really matter. So we're talking about tape measures anyway. So we have a tape measure. Tape measures are used for measuring all sorts of things, like measuring how far before you want your cuts to be. You could be measuring on a wall where your studs are so that you know where to put your screws in there. If you're doing something that is really intricate, then you may need to drill. You may need to measure out where the holes are going to be that you have to drill inside of there, because you don't want to mess up that. I've done that, and then you have to start all over with a big piece of sheetrock or wood or whatever whenever you mess up on the hole. So tape measures are used for measuring where things are at also, so that you kind of have a guide to go by and knowing how much further you need to go or how little you need to go or what you need to change in things. And it's kind of the same thing with our kids. We have to kind of put a measure to them and see where they're at in their lives. Some of your kids, you may measure them out whenever you watch them running and go, man, we need to work on our running skills. We may measure out and say, man, he sure is getting awfully angry right there. So we need to make some changes so that our kids don't get angry as often, right? So the tape measure can be used for all kinds of things. We might measure to make sure that they're not being slothful. We may be measuring and seeing that they're not all that great at football or baseball or something, and we need to work on that. But whenever I'm their dad, we can't really worry about their baseball and football skills because their dad doesn't have any. I'm not really a sports fan. So as fathers, we need to make sure that we're always measuring where our children are at so that we know where we need to go with them, the distance that we need to take them, or where we need to pull back in certain areas. So Joseph probably used his tape measure and was teaching Jesus different life lessons as they're working on their projects. They had to do building tables and chairs and cars and stuff. Okay, they didn't really build cars. The next thing we have is a chisel. Is that? No? Well, then I'm going to have to get Patrick to bring up a picture of some first century chisels. So these right here are chisels. I looked up a picture this morning, so I know what they look like. No, I'm kidding. I actually knew what a chisel was. So chisels are used for like chipping away at wood, for intricate designs or for doing these different things with wood. They're not saws, because you don't need to take off a big amount. You usually just need to take off a small amount, and they can, you know, carve these intricate drawings. Have you guys ever seen the bedpost, the wood bedpost that have all the cool stuff in there? Now it's all done with computers. But back then they used something like a chisel to chip away at the wood and do these intricate designs. Whenever, I don't think that they really had like the manufactured screws and things like that. So a lot of the old woodworking, they had to put it all together in such a way that it didn't need to be screwed or nailed or anything. And they would, you know, slide pieces together and all this. So there was a big need for something like chisels, just to kind of take out little pieces and stuff. And it's the same way with our kids. Is sometimes as fathers, we we see like these little areas that our children need to work on different things. So we want to just kind of whittle away. We don't need to chop away something. We just need to take away a little bit of this or that. Of the things that we talked about a little while ago, like we may need to chip away a little bit at an attitude of anger, or where they're not honoring their parents, or where they're lacking. We need to take the chisel and just kind of whittle away a little bit and make things better, and always pointing them back to Jesus so that we know that they're on the right path. And it's the same thing with, like I said, with the drawers and things that slid in and out. They would have to take their chisels and make just the right groove so the drawers would slide just right. So just little details that need to be taken away. And I imagine that Joseph could have taken a chisel and been working along with the wood and explaining different things to Jesus as to how a chisel would work, and how there are life lessons that we can learn from a chisel. And the last one that I want to kind of look at is we've got two different things right here. We've got this the little clamp right here, and then we've got these big giant clamps. Now, how many of you guys know what these right here are used for? What, Thurman? For holding stuff together. So the clamps are used to hold different things together. Like whenever you are, one of the things I thought of is like a guitar. I've watched these things be made before. I hope that this thing isn't going to pop really loud whenever I pull it off of there. Oop. Now we're going to pretend that my guitar is actually wooden all the way around, instead of being plastic on the back. But on the wooden guitars, they have to form these different things. And I've seen them like take the wood and they pressure it to make it almost like wet, and then they form it on these forms and they clamp it down on top of there to make this mold part here that goes all the way down and comes up around and does all this stuff. So they have to have clamps in place. Then the other thing about clamps is that if you have them all around and you just pop them all off at one time, they may just kind of flop open and it won't keep its form like what it needs to. So as you're working on something like a guitar and the intricate shape of that, they have the forms and they clamp it all down. They might take off one clamp to make sure that it's ready and that it doesn't start popping off to where it's just going to come apart in the end. So by the same token, with our children, we set these boundaries up for them, right? We say these are the things that you can do and these are the things that you can't do. And over time, we start to take some of those clamps away and give them their own headway so they can start becoming independent adults. Because if we leave our kids if we just kind of keep them all sheltered and we clamp them all down and then we turn them loose into college, a lot of kids just go wild whenever they go into that. So that's kind of where a clamp could be used. And Jesus could have been, or Joseph could have been teaching Jesus as he's clamping something down and holding things down to where the glue is sticking and making sure that everything is right and pulling them off a little bit at a time and teaching him these life lessons. He could have been. We don't have word that says that he did, but as a dad, I know that we use everyday things that we have to teach our kids some lessons. So we have all these different tools, and we've got, you know, hammers and screwdrivers and all these things that they may not have had. I don't know. Did they have sockets in the first century like that, do you think? Oh, for sure? Okay, so they had sockets. So all these different tools, and there's a variety of different lessons that we could probably learn from each tool, but I just kind of picked three. But then there's one tool that I think that every father should have in his toolbox, and it's one of the best tools that they can use because it serves a lot of different purposes. Do you guys know what that might be? Huh? Duct tape. Duct tape for sure. You got to bailing wire and duct tape. But for this lesson, I'm going to go with the Bible. The Bible is one of the greatest tools that any dad can keep in his toolbox because it contains like everything about life from before everything was even created. That's in here from before creation, through Genesis, creation of the world, the people, the animals, through everything. The Bible has that. The Bible has all these great lessons on commands that God wants us to do. It has the story of Jesus, which is important for eternal life. So this tool right here has all kinds of different tools inside of it. It's almost like a toolbox of its own. So the Bible can be used like a tape measure. We can see ourselves how God sees us, and we can try to see our children how how God sees our children, and we can use it as like a measurement to see where they're at in life, where they're at spiritually. We can look at all these different pieces and measure out and figure out where we need to direct them. So one of the things I have here is we need to use the Bible like a measure to see them the way that God sees them. And God sees them like we have in John 3:16. It says that God loved so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but live forever. So we need to see people the way that God sees them. And then the Bible also uses a measurement to see where we're at in our walk with Christ and know if we're at a point where we could say that we're kind of like Paul. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians to the Corinthian church, 11 verse 1, that we need to be imitators of Paul as he is in Christ. So we look at our kids and we say, does our kid walk around looking like Christ? When people look at my children, do they see little Jesuses running around, or do they see little hellions running around? So we need to be like Paul, and we can measure our children against the Bible and say, are they at a point where they can say, imitate me as I imitate Christ? And are we, fathers, are we at that place in our life where we can say to do that? That's a tough one to be at. The other thing that we can use the Bible for is to see how loving we are and how loving our children are. Do children love God with all of their heart, mind, and strength? Do they love their neighbor like Jesus loved them? Where is their love at on a big scale? And I go to John 15:13 there that says, greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friends. So are our children at a place where they would lay down their life for their friends? So the Bible can be like a measuring tape. The Bible is also like a chisel in that it chips away at our hearts and at our minds, and it takes these little places where we need to put in more effort and kind of chips away at these sinful things that we have, and figuring out what we need to take away. Maybe we need to chip away at, again, our anger. Maybe we need to chip away at our lustful eyes. Maybe we lie. We need to chip away at our lying. And we have all these different things that we can use the Bible and say, God says that it should be like this, and I'm not like that, so let's chip away. And the same thing, we can do that with our children. We can look at them and go, okay, he's got this problem or she's got this problem, and we need to kind of work on that and make it more a more intricate thing and make sure that they're on that path toward Jesus that they need to be on. It teaches us, the Bible's like a tool that we can chip away at things that aren't love. Because the two greatest commands are love God and love our neighbor, right? Right? Yeah. Okay. So what is love? The Bible tells us what love is, and that's in 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7. It says that love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. So that's what love looks like. Where are our children at that we may need to whittle away at some of the places that their lives don't look like love? And I keep going like this, but really I guess I should be, you know, with a hammer or something like that. So it looks at what love is, and that's a gauge that we can use to figure that out. It also teaches us that our thought lives really matter. Jesus taught that if you are angry with a person, then it's like killing them. He said that if you look at a woman in lust, then it's like committing adultery. So we have these things we can look at our kids' thought lives when we're talking to them, and we can work at chipping away the areas where they're having some problems by a lot of prayer with them, and by loving them and teaching them what this tool has to offer. And also, I didn't cover it, but the Bible is also kind of like a hammer, right? Whenever I grew up, I actually had to work with all this stuff. My dad was a home builder, so I actually learned what tools were, and he worked in body shops. So I'm really kidding whenever I talk about not knowing what it is. But anyway, what I've seen with a hammer, and where I never really got, is have you ever seen any of those guys that can put a nail into a 2x4 and then they can just wrap it one time and it just sinks right down there? I could never do that. I never was able to. I had to hammer that thing in and in and in until it finally made its way all the way down to flush with the wood. And I think that a hammer is kind of like the Bible is kind of like a hammer, in that sometimes we get things on the first shot. We read and hear what God says to do, and we get that, and then we're good to go. But with me, probably not with you guys, but with me, sometimes I see it and read it and go, okay, I got that. And then I go out and I do something again, and then the hammer hits again. You read it again, the hammer hits again, and you're like, oh, okay, I got it now for sure this time. And then, you know, you mess up again, and that hammer keeps on coming down until eventually you're going to see what's in there. You're going to really gather what it is, and then you'll finally have what's going on. So the Bible is like a hammer sometimes. We see things over and over and over again, and eventually we finally get what is teaching us, and it makes all sense, and then we're able to change our lives to do something differently. The Bible is also like a clamp in that it holds us together while we're trying to get that glue to hold us in the place we need to be, because we're supposed to be walking down a righteous path, right? That we're supposed to be going down a narrow path. So sometimes we need clamps of the Bible to hold us into place, and we need to, as fathers, to keep our children in kind of clamped down for places. And again, like what we talked about earlier, we eventually start taking loose clamps and letting them be more and more independent and giving them different steps that they're able to do, so that we can be sure that they're not going to just spring out and go crazy. And really, whenever I think of that, I think of a lot of homeschool kids that I know, and my kids are homeschooled, so I've always got to watch that. So the Bible's like the clamps also. But the last part right here, and whenever I get to the end, is going to be the most important part. But the things that I think that we can learn from the Bible as fathers, the things specifically directed toward fathers in the Bible that we can learn so that we can teach our children, is going to be these things right here. One, don't tick them off. How many parents have ticked off their kids? Yeah, we've all... Oh, Janet has it. She's never made them mad. So don't make your kids mad. And Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. So we should find ways that we don't actually make them angry, and we can teach them through things instead of, and help them to understand why we're making decisions. One of the things that we've always tried to do is, if we say you can't do something, I try not to say, because I said so, and I'm your dad, I try to give them the logical explanation of why I don't want them to go lay down out in the road. You know, there's a reason. Cars can run over you, and it'll kill you. So I try to let them know why not to do it. The Bible also teaches us, dads, that we need to discipline our children. From Proverbs 13:24, it says, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but whoever loves him is diligent to discipline him. So we need to discipline our kids, too. We can't just... You know, a lot of people nowadays think that you're not supposed to tell kids no. I've heard stories of grandparents getting in trouble with their kids for telling their children no. Like, that's a bad thing. It's like, we don't tell them no when they're trying to put the fork in the socket. We just go and take it away gently and encourage them to do something different. Well, my kids, they got encouraged differently. So we need to discipline our children. And there's a variety of ways to discipline. It's not just... spanking your kids or putting them in the corner. You know, now you can take away phones and tablets and food. No, you can't really take away food, but you can take away a lot of things from your kids that aren't going to hurt them in the least bit. Things that we didn't even have, most of us in here didn't have whenever we were kids. Take those things away, and they'll... Can you live without a tablet or a phone these days? Yeah. Katie's nodding no. She couldn't survive. So we need to discipline our kids. We shouldn't make them mad. We need to discipline them. And then the last thing is, we need to view our children as a heritage from the Lord. From Psalm 127:3-5, it says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. So we need to view our children as a gift from God, a reward, if you will. And it also teaches us that it's good to have a lot of children. We had three, and that's plenty. That was... my quiver was only enough for three. My buddy Homer, that got married a couple weeks after I did, his quiver could hold 8. And we have other friends that their quiver held 12. And then you got the, what's their names, the Duggars, and theirs has like 30 or something, 30 kids. How many kids do they have? 20. So, bless. We need to view them each as a gift. And we're almost to the main point here. The other thing that we can learn from the Bible is the Ten Commandments. These are what God spoke through Moses to the Israelite people, and it's a guide for all of us. It shows us where we lack so that we can understand that we have all messed up before this righteous and holy God. And the Ten Commandments has, first of all, love God with all of your heart, your strength, and might. It's also got love your neighbor as yourself. It tells us not to lie. It tells us not to steal. It tells us not to commit adultery, covet. There's all these things of the Ten Commandments. Ten of them teach us about life and how we need to live in order to live the life that God wants us to live. So now here's the important thing is there's all these I just told you guys three, four different things that the Bible teaches us about being a father and what we should do as fathers. So the important part is what we do with this information, because we can have all this knowledge, right? But if we don't put it into play or pass that on, then it doesn't do us much good. So the last scripture I want to read today is Deuteronomy 6:4-9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. And this next part, pay attention to verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign in your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. From Deuteronomy 6. So the important message is that we have this really cool tool right here in our toolbox that we really need to study ourselves so that we understand it better and understand it as well as what God will allow us to understand it. And then we need to pass this on to our children and let them make it part of our lives. If we live the life that God has for us, it's going to be so much better than the life that we could live otherwise. And having like this cool training manual as fathers is an awesome thing. Here lately, we've been able to do this devotional that we've been going through Genesis, and we haven't made it every night. Remember, you guys are supposed to ask us how that's going, or ask me how that's going. We've missed maybe four nights in the last 2 weeks that we've been doing it, but we've been trying to get that done every night and going over these little devotions day by day, and it takes all of about 10 minutes, so it's quick and easy, and we get some good questions from the kids, and it's a good thing. So we have this great tool that we as fathers need to know ourselves so that we can pass that on to our children and let them live the godly lives that we need to. So now I want to pray for you guys that we have a great week. I know a lot of us are trying to get out of here and do some Father's Day stuff. So I will pray for us, and you guys can come up and go to the altar, or you guys can go somewhere else and pray, or sit right where you're at too, and just pray and talk to Jesus, and especially the fathers. Let's just ask him to make us the best fathers that we can possibly be, fathers that study his word and fathers that pass his word on to our children. Well, let's pray. Dear Holy Father, I thank you so much for today. I thank you that each year we have this day that we can celebrate fatherhood and what it means to be a father. And God, I thank you that you are such an awesome father, that you love us so much that you sent your son to die on the cross so that we could spend eternity with you. God, I thank you that you gave us this tool for our toolboxes that we're able to learn so much from, and that we can pass on to our children, that they can pass on to their children, so that we can know what happened before the creation of the world, all the way through where we messed up and how we continue to mess up, and how you came here to make a way for us to spend eternity with you. God, we love you so much. We want to honor you with our lives. We want to honor you with our fatherhood. We want to honor you with our motherhood. We want to always be in your will, seeking your will for what you would have us do, what you would have us be. God, open up our hearts and minds. Help us to, we need help. It's tough to read in the Bible every single day and then learn what we can from it, but put it on our hearts to do that. We know that your word is the manual for life, and there's so much that we can learn. God, I just want to thank you for all of the fathers that we have here in the church today, and I just want to ask that as we leave here today, that you would put it on their hearts to look for your wisdom and how we can be better dads for our children. God, help everybody here, the youth, the kids, the mothers, the fathers, the people that don't have any children, to be better because of you, that whenever we go out into this dark world, that we're a light for all the people out there to see, so that whenever they look at us, they see people that love you and that want to be more like you. And God, that they would want that. Help all of us here at Cornerstone to really focused on our mission, that we need to go out and lead people to Christ and that we need to be conformed in His image. Help us to do that. We ask You for Your help today. We ask You for Your help tomorrow. We continually ask for Your help for this big mission that You've given to all of Your disciples. God, I pray that if there's anybody that is here today that doesn't know You, that they would hear You speaking to them, and that they would want to know You, and that they would want to have that relationship with You that alters eternity from an eternity of death to an eternity of life with You. God, You're such an awesome, awesome Father, and we thank You for that. Help us to love people like we've never loved before. Son's name, Jesus Christ, our Savior, that we ask these things. Amen.
Okay.